I'd like to ask you this morning, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalms. I would like to read from the 86th Psalm. I encourage you to look at the Word of God, Psalm 86. Lord willing, we're going to be studying about the subject of compassion this morning. One of the songs that we sang, the first song that we sang, "Great is Thy Faithfulness," says, "Great is Thy Faithfulness, O God my Father, there is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not." And then it says, "Thy compassions, they fail not." Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. And then the last song that we sang, "Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, Joy of Heaven to Earth Come Down. Fix in us Thy humble dwelling, all Thy faithful mercies crown. Jesus, Thou art all compassion, pure, unbounded love Thou art." Pray that God will help us as we try to think and study about the subject of compassion. Before we begin to endeavor to read and study from the Word of God, I would ask that you please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the privilege that we have to call upon the one true and living God. We're thankful for the words that songwriter expressed, "How great Thou art," because we realize, Lord, to some degree that You're greater than we can even begin to comprehend. We thank You for Your great majesty and power and holiness. We thank You that You are the one true and living God, and we're thankful that You're our Heavenly Father. We're thankful, Lord, that Thou saved us from our sins. We thank You for sending Thine only begotten Son into the earth to save us. We're thankful that we know that heaven is real, and one day when this world is over, that we're going to that eternal heaven, that home not made with hands, where there will be no more sorrow, sickness, no pain, and no death. We look forward to that glorious time that we shall see Thee face to face. Lord, even as there are those that have gone home to be with You this week, we pray that You would comfort the families that have lost loved ones, that You'd give them a special measure of Thy grace and help them to know that their loved ones are with You right now. And we pray, Lord, that You would bless all those who are sick and afflicted. There are so many who stand in great need of Thy help. And we know that Thou art the great physician. You're able to touch and heal and relieve of pain and discomfort. So we pray, Lord, that You would bless all of those that are on our prayer list. Pray that You would bless those that are on their deathbeds, that You would give them a special measure of grace, that You would bless those that have major troubles and problems. We pray, Lord, that You would bless those that are having surgery during this coming week, that You would be with them and bless them in a very special way. Pray that You would bless those who are having tests run, that they would get good reports. Pray that You would bless Brother Mike in a special way. Bless the doctors to relieve him of the pain and the discomfort that he's been having in his back. Pray that You would lead him to the right doctors. Again, bless Melissa to get a good report and all the others who stand in great need of Thy help. We pray, Lord, that You would accept our thanksgiving to Thee for Your bountiful goodness in our lives. Lord, we can never thank You enough in this world or in the glory world which is to come. We can never thank You enough for all the good things that Thou hast done for us. And we pray that You would help us, that we would think about those blessings, that we would recognize and see the blessings that we have every day, that we would realize that we are wonderfully blessed. Thy Word teaches that Thou dost daily load us with benefits. So help us, Lord, to look at and think about our blessings and that every good and perfect gift comes from Thee. Help us now in this hour. We pray that You would lift us up, plant our feet on heaven's table land, bless us to feed on the Word of God, bless us, Lord, to be filled with the Spirit of God. Pray that You would bless us not only in this hour, but in the coming week ahead, that You would guide and direct our footsteps, keep us in paths of righteousness, and help us to honor and glorify Thee with our lives. Again, bless not only those that have been mentioned audibly and in the bulletin, but all those that stand in special need. We know that every person here has their own particular burdens and problems. So, Lord, we ask that You would bless each of them, not according to what we deserve, but according to Thy mercy and Thy grace and Thy compassion. We pray in the blessed and holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I encourage you to go home and look at Psalm 86, because this whole psalm is talking about how the children of Israel would be judged by God, and God would chasten them, and they would experience the wrath of God, and then they would begin to cry to the Lord, and God would have mercy and compassion on them, and God would relieve them of the burden and the problems that they had experienced because of their disobedience. And then they would experience a little time of blessing, and before long, they would forget God again. They would turn their backs on God. God would pour out His judgments again. But I want all of us to know and understand that even when God pours out His judgments in our lives, He still is a merciful and gracious God. Even in the midst of the most severe judgments that God ever brings in the lives of His children, He still is full of mercy and grace and compassion. In fact, the Word of God says that one of the writers says, in wrath, he's praying to God, and he says, in wrath, remember what? Mercy. In wrath, remember mercy. That is, God, when I do wrong and you bring your wrath in my life, I pray that you will remember mercy. I pray that you will have compassion on me. I wrote down the definition of the word compassion. It means to take action to help because you feel sympathy and pity. To take action to help because you feel sympathy and pity. God is a God of compassion. I want to begin reading this morning in Psalm 86, beginning in verse 12. Well, I want to start with verse 8. Psalm 86, beginning in verse 8. The Word of God says, among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Now listen carefully, beginning in verse 12. I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart. I will glorify thy name forevermore. For, now he's explaining why. I want you to remember two things. First, I want you to remember that as we go through these scriptures, that one of the things that stands out is that as any writer is talking about the compassion that God has manifested toward them, and they're talking about God being a compassionate God, they're saying, I'm going to praise God. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to glorify God because He is compassionate. I want you to think about that. That's one of the many reasons we have to glorify and praise God is because of His compassion. God has manifested compassion to every one of us every day of our life. Right now, God is manifesting compassion toward us. So He says in verse 12, I will praise Thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify Thy name forevermore, for great is Thy mercy toward me. What is it that causes God to be merciful? There's something that causes God to show mercy. There's something that causes God to show grace. What is it? It's compassion that moves and motivates the mercy and the grace. It's because of compassion that God is merciful and God is gracious. So He says here, I'm going to glorify God, for great is Thy mercy toward me. Toward me. Do you know, do you feel that God is full of mercy and grace toward you? Because that's the way He is toward every one of us. Now I want you to notice beginning in verse 14, after He says in verse 13, for great is Thy mercy toward me, and Thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. He says, O God, listen to verse 14, O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set Thee before them. But Thou, O Lord, art a God. What are the next three words there? full of compassion. God, the Scripture says here, I want you to notice all the different statements it makes about God. For Thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious and long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. Well, you can go home, and I encourage you to go home and read all of this chapter as well as the chapters around this, because it talks about repeatedly about the mercy and the grace of God that are a result of the compassion of God. God is full of compassion. Now, if you really believe and you see that God is full of compassion, what are you going to do? Okay? You went to the rest of the story. I don't want to get to the rest of the story yet. Brother Neil said, if you recognize and you see that God is compassionate to you, you are going to do likewise to other people. And that's the last half that we'll get to. Is that just as God is compassionate, we're supposed to be compassionate in our lives. But before we get to that, what do we do as soon as we realize, as soon as we see, and every time that we see that God is being compassionate to us, what are we going to do right then toward God? What are we going to do?
Praise.
Say it again.
Praise.
We're going to praise the Lord. We're going to give glory to God. We're going to glorify God. We're going to be singing praises to God if we see the compassion toward me. It's one thing to see and know that God is a compassionate God and that God is merciful and gracious, but what I pray that God will bless every one of us to see this morning is not just that God is compassionate, but that God is compassionate. What are the next two letters, two words there? To me. To me. God is compassionate to me. God shows mercy and grace to me because of His great compassion. He is full of compassion toward me. And because He is full of compassion toward me, I will praise Him. Now that's what David writes down. Are you sometimes willing to say things that you wouldn't just write down? You follow what I'm saying? Sometimes we're willing to say things, but somebody says, put that in writing. We'd be a little more reluctant to actually put it in writing. Now, I want you to think about, and I know this is the inspired Word of God, but I want you to think about if you had been David, and you're penning these words and you're writing these words down and you're saying, I'm going to praise the Lord because God is compassionate to me. Do you think that would cause you to feel a little more responsibility to praise the Lord? Haven't you made a commitment when you put it in writing, I am going to praise the Lord because He is compassionate to me? And brethren, I think we all need that kind of commitment and dedication that we're willing to write down and we're willing to say and we're willing to declare, I will praise God, I will worship God, I will glorify God because He is full of compassion to me. I will praise the Lord because of that. Look at Psalm 111. Psalm 111, go forward just a few pages in the Scriptures and look at Psalm 111. And again now, David, the psalmist, makes this statement in Psalm 111. Notice the first four verses. The Word of God says, praise ye the Lord. Now what had he said in Psalm 86? In Psalm 86 he says, I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to praise the Lord because the Lord is full of compassion to me. Did you know God has done some great things for many of you during this past week? In fact, I'm going to just back up and say, God has done some great things for every single one of you this week. And if you think you deserve the blessings of God, if you don't realize how unworthy we are of those blessings, then you don't appreciate the compassion and the mercy and the grace of God. But if you realize that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, if you realize that you're a sinner, then you're going to appreciate the good things that God does for you. And you're going to praise Him because of what He's done for you. Psalm 111, now verse 1. Psalm 111, verse 1 says, praise ye the Lord. Is what did David say in Psalm 86? I'm going to praise the Lord. Now what's he saying in Psalm 111? He's telling other people, Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. Should we in the assembly of the upright, should we in the house of God, should we in the church, should we be praising the Lord for His goodness toward us? And I'm not just talking about singing songs of praise, but should we talk about and declare to other people, should we get up and tell other people how God has been compassionate to us and merciful and gracious. So David says here, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. Psalm 111 verse 2 says, the works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and His righteousness endureth forever. Now listen carefully to verse 4. He hath made His wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Come down to Psalm 112. Look at Psalm 112 and verse 4. Psalm 112 and verse 4 says, unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. What does that mean? Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. What does that mean? That means that when you're in the middle of the darkness and the trouble, if you have been trying to live upright, if you've been trying to serve God, if you've been praising God because of His mercy and His grace and His compassion, unto the upright there ariseth light in darkness. That is, when you're going through those hard times, God's going to be there. God will manifest His presence to you if you've been trying to live in a right way. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and... what are the next three words? He's full of compassion and righteous. God is full of compassion. Let me just pause right here and ask you this question. When God does, and a lot of people take the fact that God is full of compassion and mercy and grace, and they say, well, you know, God's not going to do anything really bad. He's not going to really judge me severely. Does the Word of God, when it talks about God being full of compassion, does that mean God will just overlook the things that we're doing that are wrong in our lives? In fact, I believe this, brethren. I believe that it is because of God's compassion that He disciplines us. It is because of God's compassion and His love that He will not allow us to go in the wrong direction without warning us and without disciplining us. He loves us too much. He is too full of compassion to allow us to go off and destroy our lives. That's the reason He does carry out judgment. Listen, brethren, the man that's writing these words is a man that experienced the judgments of God in a terrible way. He experienced the judgments of God in him losing his son. And knowing the reason his son was dying and died was because of his sin. He experienced his children, one after another, living as ungodly as they could. He watched one problem after another in his life. He watched his wife turn her back on him. He watched one child kill another child. He watched all kinds of sin in the lives of his children. And I want you to know the Word of God says that the reason those things happen is because David sinned against God. Now let me ask you this question. Was God still full of compassion in David's life? Wasn't it compassion that caused God, that moved God, that motivated God? Compassion and love are virtually the same thing. Isn't it love that moves and motivates one to carry out discipline? Brethren, it's a foolish parent that lets their children just go in the wrong direction and not try to do anything to correct it. It's not love that causes parents to fail to discipline their children. And it's not compassion that causes you to just ignore things that are going on that are wrong. That's not compassion. That's not mercy, and that's not grace. God is full of compassion, but God will not ignore wrongdoing. Now go with me to the New Testament. Everybody turn in your Bibles. I want you to think about Jesus. We think about God. Sometimes when we think about God, we only think of God the Father. But listen, when the Word of God says that God is full of compassion. Doesn't matter whether you're talking about God the Father, God the Son, or God the Holy Spirit. God is one God. There are not three gods. There is one God. There are three persons in the Godhead, but God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are all full of compassion. When Jesus lived here on this earth, you know one of the most prevalent things that is ever said about Jesus is that as He would be in someone's presence and He would see a particular need, one of the most common expressions about Jesus is that Jesus was moved with compassion. That meant that He was fixing to do something because He felt sympathy and pity. He felt concern. He loved the people. And as He would see people with problems and He was moved with compassion, He did things to help them in their trouble. And first of all, I want you to notice in Matthew, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. Look in your Bibles, please. I want you to see that Jesus was moved with compassion. And we're not going to go to all of the places in the Bible where it talks about Jesus showing compassion. I'll be glad to give you all those scriptures if you'd like them later, but I just want you to look at just two or three different ways that the Word of God says that Jesus was moved with compassion. Whatever your problems are, Jesus is touched. Listen carefully. The Word of God says Jesus is touched with the feeling of your infirmities. Whatever your problems are, and listen, in this congregation, there are all kinds of different problems. There are some that have financial problems, some that have physical problems, some that have emotional problems, some who have family problems, but it does not matter what your problems are. God is moved with compassion and is being compassionate to you in your problems. Matthew chapter 14, as Jesus saw many people that were sick, the Word of God says in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 14, as Jesus saw many that were sick, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was, what's the next three words say? Let me ask you this question. Can you be a compassionate person without doing something to help people? You will not find anywhere in the Word of God where God or His people were ever compassionate without it resulting in them doing something to relieve the affliction of someone else. And if you and I are not doing things to try to relieve the burdens of people, we are not compassionate. Just feeling sympathy is not the same as compassion. Just feeling pity for someone is not the same as compassion. Compassion is when you're moved to go and help someone because you feel the sympathy and the pity. It's when you do something because you're concerned about people. Let me tell you something, brethren. There are members of this church. I'll just get very specific. There are members of this church that are not coming to church. And some people haven't done one thing. Did you know that? I'm talking about members of this church haven't done one thing. Not one thing. They don't tell me you got love in your heart. You don't have love in your heart when there are members of this body that are having problems and are not in the house of God and you don't know for sure what the problems are. You've just heard this person say this and heard this person say that, you don't know what the problems are. And the reason you don't know is because you don't care enough to try to do something. Now, it's a shame and a disgrace when there are members of the body that are having problems and you don't know, you haven't done anything. You haven't sent a card, you haven't called, you haven't gone to visit, you haven't tried to do anything. It is an indictment on anybody when people are going astray and you just close your eyes to what they're doing. It is proof that you don't care and you don't love your brother if you aren't moved to do something about people that are either sick or they're going down the wrong path and you just ignore it. Members or friends of the church, anybody that comes to church here, listen, brethren, you're responsible and I'm responsible for knowing where they are when they're not there. I know some people say, I've had people tell me, I've heard people tell, they don't usually tell me, I wish you wouldn't call me, but they'll tell other people, I wish he wouldn't call me. Well, let me tell you something. There's only one reason I call you when you're not here. Do you know why I call you when you're not here? It's because I care about you. God is full of compassion. And if we're God's people and we're following God, we're going to be full of compassion. And God has never, never ignored even one of His sheep. Never has God done that. And if we're going to be followers of God, we cannot ignore people that are going astray. We cannot see people who are hurting and not try to do something to help them in their problems and in their afflictions and in their tribulations. We can do something. You might say, you can come up with all the things you can't do. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying there's something you can do. There are some people that don't want you to visit them. Is that true? Is that true that there are some people that don't want you to visit them? Why, sure. But now, can you take the fact that there are some people that don't want you to visit them, can you take that as an excuse for you doing nothing to help them? Can you use that as an excuse? Absolutely not. And we deceive ourselves when we think we love the brethren, and we think we love one another, and we think we love our neighbor, when there are people that are dying and are perishing and are being destroyed and on the verge of their lives being completely down the drain, and you don't do a thing to help them. You have zero compassion toward that person. Now, you may have compassion for some people, but there are other people you don't have compassion for. Everybody understand what it is that I'm trying to get across? God is full of compassion. When Jesus saw people that were sick, He had compassion. He was moved with compassion. Did He do something about it? Yes, He was moved with compassion. He healed them. You come to Matthew chapter 15, verse 32. And when Jesus saw many people that were hungry, in Matthew chapter 15, verse 32, the Word of God says, then Jesus called His disciples unto Him and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with Me now for 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting lest they faint in the way. What did He do? He fed the people. He was moved with compassion. He cared about the people, and He did something because He had compassion. Now, go with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18 very quickly. And this is probably one of the main passages that's on my heart about compassion. In Matthew chapter 18, I want you to notice beginning in verse 23. Look carefully at your Bibles in Matthew 18, beginning in verse 23. The Word of God says in Matthew 18, verse 23, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king. Now, what are we talking about here? The what? The kingdom of heaven. What's the difference? The kingdom of heaven is here on this earth. Eternal heaven is when we die. And He says, now, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. Who does this king represent? Represents, okay, some said God, others said Jesus Christ. It represents God/Jesus Christ. Makes no difference to me which particular term you use right there. I think that right now it would be better to say it's the King of the kingdom who is Jesus Christ. He is the one that specifically is identified as the King of kings. It's the person of Jesus Christ who rules over His kingdom. It's Jesus Christ that judges who enters the kingdom and who is shut out of the kingdom. So in Matthew 18, 23, there was a king that would take account of his servants. Verse 24 says, and when he had begun to reckon, you think Jesus is going to reckon with you? You reckon He's going to reckon with you? What does reckon mean? Yes, you're going to have to give account to Him. We must. Let me tell you something, brethren. The idea that the only people that are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ are dead alien sinners is a false doctrine. God's children, we. The Apostle Paul says, we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And I want you to know that every one of us, we are being judged by Jesus Christ today. If we're God's children, He is judging us. The King is judging us. And the Scripture says here in verse 24, and when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, let me tell you something, brethren, this man represents every one of us. We're 10,000 talents in debt and don't have a penny to pay. We owe God more than we can comprehend that we owe God. He says, but for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold and his wife and children and all that he had and payment to be made. And the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. What was he asking for? Don't say compassion. That's not the word I'm looking for. What was he asking for? He was asking for mercy. He was asking for mercy. And so he says, Lord, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. Verse 27 says, then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Has God ever done that for you? Have you ever been brought before the judgment seat of Christ and you knew you were fixing to be cast into outer darkness where there was weeping and gnashing of teeth? Have you ever been brought before the judgment seat of Christ and you knew you were fixing to be cast into a hell here on this earth? And you knew that's what you deserved? And yet God had compassion and showed mercy to you and didn't do that, but rather He forgave you as you fell on your knees and begged God to have mercy on you. Have you ever had God do that for you? He's done that for me over and over in my life. But that same servant, verse 28 says that the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants. Now this goes to who was it that brought this up about us being compassionate to someone else? Brother Neil. He went right to this. Verse 28 says that the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. I'll tell you, that's not a drop in the bucket of what this same man owed to his king. And yet this brother owed this other brother 100 pence, and he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. Come down to verse 32. Verse 32 says, then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Now listen carefully to verse 33. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion? Have had what? Shouldn't you have had compassion on thy fellow servant even as I had pity on thee? Do you know what happened to this man? His Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Listen, brethren, if you don't want to experience some hell on this earth, you better show compassion. If you don't want to experience horrible judgments, you better show compassion. God's compassions fail not, and our compassions better not fail either. You remember and I'll close right here, just mention this. In Luke chapter 10, the Word of God tells us about, we call it the Good Samaritan, the parable of the Good Samaritan. You remember the parable of the Good Samaritan? There was a man who had been up to Jerusalem to worship. He was on his way back down to Jericho. He fell among thieves. Those thieves robbed him and beat him half to death. You remember who came by, the first one that came by? There was a priest that came by. A priest. Do you understand? A priest, somebody that was supposedly a religious person, came and passed by on the other side. Did you know God's Word says that God has made you and me kings and priests? Do you follow that? There's a priest that passed by on the other side. Have you ever passed by on the other side when there were people that were going the wrong way and you did nothing? Have you ever passed by on the other side, just closed your eyes, just pretended like, well, I'm not going to do anything about that. Don't want to offend them. It's compassion that moves you to try to work with people. He was moved with compassion. The Levite, after the priest passed by on the other side, the Levite passed by on the other side, but then here comes this Samaritan. Brethren, this Samaritan knew, as far as the Word of God, he knew less about the Bible than the priest or the Levite. But I'll tell you what he did know. He knew his Lord. He knew his Lord had been compassionate to him. And you know what he did? Whenever he found that man who hated him, this was a Jew that was down there half dead. That Jew hated the Samaritan, but the Samaritan took that man and he bound up his wounds and he poured oil an ointment on him, and he did everything he could to help him. And then he took him and put him on his donkey, and he carried him to an inn. And after he had done everything he could do, he told the innkeeper, "Do you take care of him, and I'll come back and pay you whatever I owe." Which man, in fact, here's what the Scripture says. When the Samaritan saw that man, you know what the Scripture specifically says there in Luke 10? He did what? What did he do? He had compassion on him. Did he show him mercy and grace? Yes, he did. But he had compassion on him. May God help us to understand how wonderful it is that God is compassionate to us. May God help us to praise God because He does show compassion to us. But may God also help us that we would show compassion one to another, is my prayer for Christ's sake.